watching Prohibition fall down.
All right, man. Real talk. I don't know. Is this show the best show, or is it Wake and Bake America?
I don't know. I love talking.
I like them both equally. I used to say I like Grow Talk better, man. I like hanging. I like hanging for both shows. Yeah, I got shit to talk about.
Man, I love talking Grow, and when I'll hang out with the DGC, there'll be like more Grow Talk. But there is a lot of interesting things going on in with cannabis these days. I think it's important that we educate ourselves or else we might not be able to grow.
Yeah, speaking of, we'll have an update on tomorrow's show about those guys that got pulled over in that truck with like 18,000 pounds of hemp.
Hey, it depends if you weigh the truck or not. I heard they weighed the truck when they gave the final weight.
I would totally believe it.
That guy was the bag, okay?
Let's bag up the grow room and weigh it. Lights, hoods, bulbs, CO2 tanks, weigh it. All right, guys,
before we get into everything.
New DGC members, February 15th, we're giving away the Extract Craft Source Turbo. You got one there, Scotty?
I do, man. Hang on. Let me grab that. This is our model box right here. But this thing's awesome.
Model box.
Yeah, I really love this. I've been playing with this one. I'm playing with the bigger one. But yeah, really cool machines over there.
Yeah, you've been running it now for about, I don't know, how long, a year or so maybe?
Yeah, is that how long we've had it? I guess he's given us one about a year ago. And yeah, I use it to just make extracts. I'm not really... I don't use the world's best materials going in because I just use these things for edibles. And I was just talking to, man, shout out to Chuck Diesel, man. He's really struggling, battling his cancer. And we were talking yesterday and he goes, I'll go to try to get edibles. And it's, you know, I could go broke. If I'm trying to eat a couple hundred milligrams of this stuff a day, you'll literally go broke. It's like, what, $20 for 20? It's basically like a dollar a milligram, I think. And what a bummer, you know? So it's really cool to be able to take either CBD bud or THC bud and extract it in this thing and make yourself some medicine. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, that is super awesome. And the fact that you guys can sign up over at dogrows.com, $10 a month, cancel anytime. Look at it. You're signing up for a little raffle. I don't care. We're going to pick the winner on the 15th. I believe that's a Friday show in February. And you're helping support the show, helping be a little bit more listener supported. Members has its benefits. Membership has its benefits. Dogrows.com. There's the link there for you members to get 30% off recharge, 30% off the DGC outlet, which is continuing to grow, as well as all kinds of other jazz. So check it out, guys. Appreciate it.
It is. I forgot. I got Two-Tone Willie magically got some seeds over to me recently, man. So there's some Two-Tone dank in the house in the bakery over here.
I don't know. We'll have to talk after the show. I might have to make a request.
Seeds
have been rotating in and out too. They go quick. So there's nothing in there right now, but they will be soon. We always let you know.
Yep, definitely.
All right, moving on. Who's growing some dank over on dudegrows.com? You guys have been getting up dank nugs? What's up?
I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say, I always know this guy's growing dank, though.
Tanazi Gardens?
Yes, man. I've expected him to grow dank at this point.
This is the sweet tea. Sweet tea, California orange crossed with Alcatraz OG crossed with Space Queen, of course.
All right.
Is that from the dank subcool seeds? Here at day 60, a flower, terps, melon, lemon, pine, candy, explosion. So terpy. I love it. The frozen dry sift rosin is going to be top-notch, packed full of fruity greatness. I've edged the slush gal for 60 days under a hashtag photon phantom design LED.
Okay.
She is a 10-gallon pot under Super Hortilux HPS. I will add CalMag and hashtag recharge to the RO water once a week.
Okay. Yeah.
Great, man.
Nice. Man, we got to get you on the show, man. Tanaz is a badass grower.
Yeah, you can see these leaves are triked all the way out. I really like to see trikes going out to the end on fan leaves. It shows that you've got good material to work with even after the trim.
Yeah, beautiful.
All right, moving on to Extract Craft. No, they're not growing some dank. They're making some dank. Never mind. My own notes are backwards. We're moving on to Grow Talk, dude. You guys, Grow Talk is over on dogrows.com. Grower questions, trying to participate. I'm letting everybody know over there when their question gets featured on the show. I'll comment on it in your post. And everybody that's been participating, thank you very much. But it's been a great growers network, a place to hang with good vibes.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. Really enjoying it. Love this community.
Even if you don't want to get a grow question up, guys, just go over there and search. Search your problem or your knowledge you want to learn. There's been a ton contributed. And we definitely pay, I think we pay like $300 a month to keep all. There's like so many damn images, Scotty, from all the memes that are still over there stored on the server.
You know, anyway. I heard that like 90% of the internet is loaded with junk mail. Like that's what all the, like most of the things that people are storing.
Yeah, let's ask you, how many emails are in your inbox?
24,000.
That's a lie. 90% of the internet can't be junk emails.
Because it's got to be all porn.
Because like 80% of it's porn. In 4K.
Lodicus of dank.
Wait, what is, I'm trying to figure out what this is. Is this like a... like a sentence, like locutus a dank. What is happening here, man?
I don't know what it is. I just go with lodicus.
You're putting a T where the C is, sir. It doesn't matter.
The lodicus says.
That sounds like a Greek god, doesn't it?
Exactly. Lodicus. My local Kroh's store informed me I cannot use organics and cocoa. So first off, they're fired.
Yes.
Only synthetics. Is this true? If so, why? It makes no sense. I would love to explore the differences between the two without changing my medium.
Yes. So
he's good to go. All right, next question.
No, I mean, let's talk about that really quick. You know, I was looking through the comments here. A lot of really good comments, but Fear Nuke really gets it here. Fear Nuke, he must have listened to the last episode that we did with Dr. Colin. And I think what they're talking about is when you talk about soil microbes and whatnot, the mycorrhizae doesn't work if you're using a bunch of nutrition, if you're using a bunch of synthetic nutrition. I don't know if he was getting that confused, if they were getting that confused, but.
You say it doesn't work straight up.
The mycorrhizae.
It suppresses it. I mean, the more synthetics, the more phosphorus you have in the medium or something.
The more phosphorus you have, the less mycorrhizae is going to
go out and mine phosphorus on its own.
Because it's not getting fed by the plant because the plant's not making those exudates because it doesn't need phosphorus. It's already getting as much or more than it needs.
Well said, sir. Well said.
Which, depending on your view, I think that, that's a negative thing. I want my microbes to be working with the plant.
But cocoa is organic. I mean, cocoa is organic. It comes off the husk of a coconut. Coconuts are a natural thing. They're grown. So
the only negative effect I've seen from coconut or seen people talk about is that it breaks down relatively quickly to peat and other substrates into like tannins and polyphenols.
Right.
But their negative effect on the plants that are growing in them is pretty negligible. Like I've definitely seen people in like commercial horticulture outside have plants planted in cocoa for years at a time and it'd be okay. So
yeah, we grow in cocoa. I'll grow like 30% cocoa with my bamboo. I have friends that'll grow in up to 40-50% cocoa. And when you're doing organics, I do like to mix it with some peat, though. I find that peat, or I'll at least mix it with something that like that has a little bit of soil organic matter in there. I'm thinking like earthworm castings are good. Like I just
I bet you people think you can get your cocoa from Florida coconuts, but that's definitely not the almost all the trees in Florida are just like ornamental, right?
I mean, there's plenty of coconuts there, but no, I think in Mexico is where almost all the coconuts come from.
Hey, coconuts kill more people every year than sharks do.
It is so true because it's so tempting to go fall asleep under a coconut tree. And when those things fall, they fall like 20 at a time in a big bundle. Crush you.
I want to chime in. I don't know. I interrupted you there, Scotty. Where are you?
Oh, just soil organic matter is what you got to introduce, and then what you've got to you've got microbes. If you're doing organic, you've got to introduce soil organic matter. Cocoa core is really good for aeration. It's organic, so you can certainly have it in there. But what you got to put something like I like to put either a little bit of peat or certainly earthworm castings are loaded with soil organic matter. So to enrich the soil with those,
because if you're trying to go organic and not like watering in bottled organics, which you definitely can do in just pure cocoa.
Right.
If you're not doing that and you're trying to just go organic soil, it's best to use cocoa as like an additive for aeration to your peat mix or peat compost mix that you're doing so that it's just a little bit more aeration and water wicking than the peat naturally would have by itself and using it more as like a substrate and as a part of a whole soil, not as the soil itself.
Yeah, peat will stay wet and once it dries out, it's really hard to get it to
hydrophobic.
Yeah, so if you can have 20-30% the core in there, cocoa core in there. The cocoa core is really easy to re-wet, you know.
I want to give my school of thought here on the cocoa because I've done it plenty of times. Is when and how I feed with organics and why I still have a hard time getting off bottles, man. I'm not really trying that hard, to tell you the truth.
Right.
But feeding organics, liquid organics, you know, BioBiz is a great product that I used this last run. I can't wait to taste it. First time I've used the nutrient full line on a full run. But I picture the analogy here is like, so that's liquid organics. That's plant feeding plants, as Scotty says. When you are mixing in liquid organics into inert medium and then inoculating, like you're saying, Scotty, worm castings, however you're getting your good, your bennies in there, recharge, whatever you got going on, creates a pretty a quick reaction of goodness. When I'm afraid,
they still need a home though. You know what I mean? They still need a place to set up shop and colonize.
Okay, and what you're saying in Coco, that you're going to add a little bit of what to do that.
You've got air. You think about what you need around your house. You need a little bit of airspace. You can't be living on top of each other. So the Coco gives you that aeration, and then having that soil organic matter, it gives it a place to grow. So whether it's a big, you know, big bunch of a couple particles of earthworm castings over there, or some peat, that's where the organic matter is gonna be able to colonize. And if it's mixed in with some aerated Coco,
you get me thinking about mixing in like the like little bit of lava rock or those cocoa balls, play balls.
Yeah. So now there's that lava rock or that, you know, piece of perlite or whatever is stuck.
It's like the coral reef. Say it.
Yeah.
It's a coral reef for beneficials.
Yeah. It's stuck right next to a piece of soil organic matter that's got a bunch of bacteria and fungi growing on it.
Well, let me finish my analogy here.
Yes, sir.
The way I feed that in Coco, instead of doing an organic amended soil, you know, where I have raw materials that are still in powdered or granular or some type of form, I picture that I'm getting really good results when I do it in the form of a liquid organic, because I equate that to like people that juice, people that will go, like I make smoothies. You can make a smoothie. I had Voss tell me about a smoothie the other day. He puts like three apples and kale and that and this, and people have their own opinion on it. But I kind of compare that to liquid organics.
That's like a good one, man. That's a really good, because think about it. You could be like, oh, couldn't you just eat those three apples and you would get the fiber too? Yeah, you could, if in a perfect world, if I could just sit around eating three apples, but you know what I mean? I'm on the run, so I make this smoothie with, you know, eight apples in it or whatever. So yeah, that is a good comparison to bottled nutrients, dude.
All right, I'll take it. But that's what I wanted to say. There's no wrong way to do it. You guys were like, shut up. There is a wrong way. But you got the right idea, man. That hydro shop, go back and educate them and see maybe they're just trying to sell you something because they didn't have something else on their shelf, which I don't like. So don't take that advice about organic and cocoa. It definitely happened.
Dude, we're just keeping – I'll keep it real, man. Guru and I and Warehouse Kyle are setting up the little grow system I've got, and we've been tuning these hempy buckets lately. And I left them for about 4 or 5 days. I thought they were nice and tuned up. We went in there to dig some plants in, and, oh, man, it smelled like somebody went to the bathroom. We're all kind of looking at each other. And then, sure enough, that's what anaerobic is, man. The thing went anaerobic. So, you know, you always have to do fine tuning, and you always make mistakes, man. You always have to learn, you know, little adjustment, man. But once something like that happens, I don't know. You got to adjust, man. You got to react.
All right. Since I mentioned them, being BioBiz, check them out, guys. If I could recommend, I like to pick a product out of a line. Let's say BioBiz's line. I'm gonna give it to the Activera. It's an aloe-based product. Little birdie told me there's tricanthol in there. It's not on the label because we all know how the label game works, but it's a cool, it actually smells when you open up, Scotty, like a little bit of an aloe plant. And aloe, we know, has many uses in the garden.
Sure.
Used it during cloning. I don't know all the other uses on it, but they got a good product and it's new with BioBiz. You can check it out, add it to your line, and tell your retailer to pick up some BioBiz for you, man. I think you can pick it up online as well. But try and support your local hydro shop still. I thought by now they'd be having more trouble. It seems like some hydro shops are still doing pretty decent, man.
Oh, there's plenty of people that need the advice of a hydro shop, you know, to be able to go and get the advice, you know?
I like it. It's like Mountain Lion there in Fort Collins. Like, you can go in and get a little cup of tea and hang out and BS about grow. That's what it is. That's what brings you in.
Hey, we've got to add value here, man.
With the tea.
That's when I leave the meeting.
Moving on, Autoflower Lighting by Johnny Chimpo. Chimpo.
Okay.
This is a, whoa, if you're watching the video show, your eyes just get hurt a little bit.
Uh-oh.
It's like solid red. I can't even see through the spectrum to see the plant.
All right, we're looking at a blurple light. And as soon as I looked at this, I turned the Potsy Weeder and I was like, I don't know, man. I prejudge. I've got a prejudice against purple and a blurple.
Hey. Blurple's making a kind of a little bit of a comeback with people where they have the white base.
I don't want to be an anti-blurbite, man.
And then 430, 460, 530, 560 red, or 660, 630 reds in there
right,
with tunable spectrum so that you can change the the just base white spectrum to a more blue or a more red spectrum for like a veg or a flower.
I did see that, man. Which is kind of, at the Lyft Expo, there was a few fixtures for sure. There's heavy on the white, but then down the middle, they had like 660s, I think it was red, but the light was still pretty pleasurable to the eyes.
So that you can turn off the reds and the blues when you go to work in the room.
Right.
So you can work in it under just pure white light.
Sure.
And then switch them back on. And the reds and blues are there less for their photons and more for the plant morphology effect that it'll have on the plant, like the shape of the plant.
Take a look at those leaves. Those are some fat-ass leaves, man. So that is a fat-ass plant right there.
About adjustability and their LED at the Lyft Expo. I'm like, can you dim this, tune that, turn the reds out, or what? He's like, no, we haven't integrated any functionality as far as adjustability in our LED because we don't want the growers to screw it up and be mad at us. Okay, like it sounded like it definitely happened to them.
Right,
like the grower like forgot to turn on the reds, or I don't know. But let's get this question here.
He's asking, bit knowledge is a dangerous thing, right?
He's got two autos and a 4x4 tent under two 300 watt LEDs. Don't know what the actual wattage is. It sounds like that's their marketable watt. And they are a month old exactly from seed. I also have a 400 watt HPS. At what point can I run my HPS light? Is it possible to run HPS through the whole grow? Please help. There's not a lot of information out there. So he can run the HPS with this, I think, but I wouldn't want him to run, I don't know. Haven't you, Scott, gone from like seed to finish under HPS light the whole time?
Why would I change my lights, man? All right, that takes a lot of work.
The first few times I grow, and you were the guy that advised me on it, and right. It was strictly budget-based.
It's just budget-based, man. You could definitely do a little bit better. The metal halide, shortens the internodal length, the blue light does?
It's a little bit more blue light, so it's going to have shorter internodal mm-hmm. spacing, but I would throw this HPS in there with these auto flowers as soon as I could.
Yeah.
But you want to have a hardening off period of at least like 3 or 4 days with it to where it's not getting full HPS light just the entire day, just because you could shock the plant a little bit just by the huge increase in light that it's getting.
Yeah, or keep it up high above it.
Raise it down slow. Like sometimes I'd start 3-4 feet off my plant and give it 6 inches down, then maybe another 4. So.
And a 400 watt isn't that dangerous. You know, HPS light isn't a super dangerous light.
This plant's never seen anything like that before. It's like a whole new sun, man.
Yeah. But get that on there, that thing. But I tell you what, that plant looks pretty darn good from what I can see. It's like purple on purple, man.
All right, moving on to Small Buds by Vader Nugs.
Oh, man.
Vader Nugs. I always feel people want to emphasize the Z if they have the Z.
Yeah.
Look, Small Buds doesn't have to be all, man. All right. This is my third grow, day 56, so we'll say most strains. I don't know, he's getting close to the end, probably.
Right.
So should be done soon. 600 watts of HLG Quantum boards, mixed spectrum, 2750 and 3000.
Yeah. So 2750 is a little bit more blue? Is that how that works?
A little bit more red.
A little bit more red.
3000's a little bit.
That's a straight flowering light.
Yeah, so the lower is red, more red.
We're talking about Kelvin. It's a black box scale. I'm not even going to get into that, but it's
thank you.
Yeah,
lower more red, higher more blue.
Exactly.
Easy enough, man. I dumbed it down. Okay, cool. I got two of these HLG Quantum boards. What did they send us? Do you remember what they were? They just came in the mail a couple days ago.
The 360 Pro Elites.
Dude.
And we got two of them.
Yeah, I am really into these things, man. I just hooked them up today, man. I would be releasing some social media about them, man. But these are pretty legit lights, man. I don't think lights is a limiting factor anymore.
Like hurt your eyes and see spots type of lights.
Yeah.
You sure you don't want to release anything now? This is social media.
Are you sure? What's happening? Where am I?
I am sure. I keep defending myself. I tell people.
All right. I will tell you that. Look, I just raised the temperature in my room. His temperature is at 77 with humidity around 45. Dude, I would raise that temperature up, man.
Yeah, I'd have my temperature at like 84 to 85, the whole grow with the LED spectrum until I got to, this is my style. I'm not going to put science behind this. Until I got to like the last 7 to 10 days, I'm trying to mimic, no matter what, nature, it gets cool out and bring some of the attributes of what nature would do to the flower,
right,
in my mind.
I vouch for the dude's flower. It is super high quality, and I always ask, what's his secret? If that's a secret, I'm writing that shit down.
So here's the Vermicrop Veg Bloom and PK Recharge. Mammoth Pea Jumpstart and Biocozyme. So he looks like he's got his meat and potatoes covered, the Vermicop Veg and Bloom, NPK, Recharge Microbes, Mammoth Microbes, Jumpstart. What was Jumpstart? Some vitamins and...
Yeah, Jumpstart is one. I think that has a little tricantinol in there. I'm not...
Yeah, I believe so.
That's the Growmore product.
Okay, and then Biocozyme from Growmore, their enzyme. So yep. I think his baseline's fine. Mm-hmm. 7-gallon smart pots. Only thing I think I'm doing wrong is possibly underwatering. I rarely see the sag, meaning, you know, he's done. You should rarely, if never, see that when plants start to almost wilt. You're damaging. Oh, I got a question. I don't want to get off subject here. But he says he waters every 2 to 3 days. Bodhi dragon fruit and the orange is on the TH critical hog. I mean, these flowers don't look horrible to me by any means.
Right. So how do you guys figure out when to water next? No, they look beautiful. They look absolutely beautiful. They're certainly, they got a couple more weeks left, though.
I don't have my loop in the garden there, and I can't put it up to the screen here. I don't know, about a couple weeks. They look like they're getting a little lighter green on the first pick, but make sure you let them ripen off more. You do get, I get my flowers increasing, I say 10 to 15% the last couple weeks when they're ripening off. But go, what are you saying?
I just say, you definitely don't want to starve them of water. So how do y'all determine, what is y'all's rule of thumb for determining? I use hempy buckets, so mine are watering from the bottom all the time. How do y'all determine when to water? I know you, I lift the pot up. What do you guys
water think? Weight for me and visual at the top of the soil. What color? I know what color my medium, how it changes as it needs usually.
I like to get my hands dirty. I'll shove my finger in there about 2 inches, and if I can feel any moisture.
That's what I'll do from like my house plants.
And lift the pot and see how heavy it is.
What do you think, about 50%, 40%?
What's that?
The pot should be about half of its weight when it gets rewatered. What do you guys think? Is there a good rule of thumb with that? They're pretty light. Some of my pots are pretty light, especially when I'm growing bamboo for production.
See, here, this brings up the question. I let my plants get really light sometimes. Do you have a point, or do you guys know, and we can revisit this, at what point is not watering, like, if my plants have never wilted, I've never let them get that, because I don't have a super hot environment. But regardless, at what point?
Yeah, once they lose that turgidity, you fucked up.
Well, when the when the roots suck air, man. You know, when there's nothing, when there's no more water for the roots to suck.
I'm saying at this point, because I've been letting my plants get really dry lately, mm-hmm. I'll lift up the pot and then I'm like, man, this is super light. But I'll still see a little moisture between the pot and the saucer. And there's literally some like little bugs there hanging out for the last bit of moisture. They're probably some beneficial crap that whatever. But am I damaging the rhizosphere at that point? If I let my pot get so dry, do the microbes go dormant? What do they do?
I mean, if there's no water, you know, they're certainly not going to freaking thrive.
So you're slowing it down, maybe we'll say.
I would certainly think so.
That's what I was thinking. Like, they're definitely like. Rough, and I don't know about rough enough, whatever.
You
want to
give them an ideal environment as long as possible. You want to give them, you know, for as 24 hours a day, if you know, for as long as possible. You got to water for 15 minutes a day. It's a little bit too moist.
Because plant roots need water to be able to function.
Right.
Like the way that they actually intake nutrients from the soil, be it synthetic or organic, they need water there to be able to make those reactions.
I should do an experiment. Because I get what you're saying. Optimal conditions, a dripper comes on at 7 times a day for 3 minutes, and the cocoa's at the perfect moisture level.
Cyclical watering is like a proven horticultural.
There you go. Yeah.
It is. And that means you water a little bit.
For production.
A little bit multiple times a day. And what that does is that keeps from ever getting completely saturated. When the thing's completely saturated, it can't breathe. That's not the most ideal environment for roots and soil microbes and whatnot. By just cyclical watering, you're giving it a piece of what it needs, you know, 1/6 of what it needs all the time. Think about what bodybuilders and athletes do. Lance Armstrong eats 6 or 8 times a day. He don't just eat one big fat meal, you know, McDonald's, Popeye's chicken meal every night, you know?
Cyclical watering, I believe, is on point for production. What I'm debating here, throwing out my own style of growing, is that I don't know if it produces the dankest flowers. I think it will produce the most flower and it'll give you like the most return on weight and yield. But I have this thing stuck in my head, which I'll depend the white papers on that. Sometimes when you let you get really dry, like a plant stresses in a natural environment, it happens sometimes where the plants die because it didn't rain. So I'm trying to put on a stress that I think at certain points in flowering.
At certain points, I agree, but not every 3 days, man.
No.
That becomes malnutrition.
Not that often. And then afterwards, I'll re-inoculate with my recharge, right? So
Yeah.
All right, good discussion. Did we hit it? Did we do good enough for that yay?
You did, but you just reminded me, I have to tell you about this thing, man, because it's something I think you'll like, man.
Okay, real quick.
They found a guy in the desert after like 2 days with no water, man. And there were these motorcycle guys looking for him. And I'm just thinking about like your plant, the analogy of the same thing, like your plant, like 2 to 3 days with no water. They went and picked this guy up. He was like lost in the desert. These guys on motorcycles picked him up. He couldn't even lift his leg up to get on the motorcycle to get back. He was that weak, man. He was in this diminished state, you know?
I mean, we really are just blobs of carbon and water.
Yeah, and when you screw that up,
water than anything
when you
else.
Screw up the water balance, and the same with plants as well, you screw up that water balance, man, you really screw up our performance. And plants, all they don't move anyway, or they don't move very quickly, so all they can do is just slow down. We can't even notice them moving quickly, and so how are we going to notice when they slow down, you know?
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, you got to see that video, though. It's a trip.
I will transition over to shout now to Optic Foliar. What up, Dinesh? Actually, hang out at the expo with Dinesh. I was working the booth, Scotty. Dinesh went to the bathroom, and I was hooking some samples up. You know,
give it away now.
I was official, man. Great shit, guys. I've gone, gotten the RTU? Oh, the Overgrow. He had his Overgrow samples. That's his RTU, ready to use spray of his other products that you can get in concentrate, so you can make gallons and gallons and gallons. But it's got a light MPK and trace minerals to spray on your plant, lights on. And my buddy Everett got his hands on some, and he's trying to keep some plants happy that are like, these are plants that he's keeping the genetics, but he doesn't really want them to grow fast at all. So he's keeping them like not happy, but still alive, but in an angered root bound state, if you're following me, Scotty.
Yes.
Until he needs them, and then he's going to transplant and take cuts. But they're looking like shit, dude. And he sprayed some Optic Foliar, the RTU on it, and Overgrow. And within a day, like you give it 48 hours. I say you can give it a light cycle guarantee, man. You see results when spraying this product. You're not foliar feeding your plants.
Sure.
You're not feeding your entire plant. That's what I'll say. That's what I'll tell you.
Yeah, you just bypass the roots. No fucking choice, man. You're getting what I give you. And I'm spraying it on you.
Yes. It's good stuff, though. The other thing I'll recommend on before we move on is the ATAC. And man, it's called selenium or something in Canada. You had to have a different name for up here.
Okay.
Go figure. What's that?
I'm just laughing, man. Regulations.
Very good product for preventative and maintaining. And it has gotten me through harvest to take care of powdery mildew. You can spray it up to like a day before harvest. And when I say that about products, like that's a serious approval, Scotty, because I don't like, there's so many products that I've come across. They're like, oh, up to 2 days before harvest. And it smells like, dear God, like no way am I spraying that on my flowers. The ATAC, quite different, a great way. It has just the slightest amount of sulfur and copper in it.
I
won't damage your flowers.
Flowers a day before harvest, man. You nuts.
And there's other things that were brought up that at the expo, I was at the regenerative conference. Somebody was talking about how crazy is what indoors, and it's probably that Suzanne Wainwright, I think, what indoor growers don't ever do, is, which is so weird, is like, a lot of practices with things, with pesticide applications, or all this shit, is under the assumption that your plants sometimes get some rain. They get some type of rinse.
Right.
And
right.
As indoor growers, we don't think about that. And that's why I like to keep my plants mobile, because if I can, I like to go hit them in the shower, man, make me feel like I'm the rain god.
Sure.
Anyway.
Baby, you can just take what the heck was I going to say, man? What are they called, man? The pump-up sprayers. You can take a pump-up sprayer and make it rain in your room.
True. You can. I still haven't built my dream room, man. I want the room that has, like, 2 floor drains that go out, you know, you can just, the walls are all totally waterproof.
Yeah, you'll Sounds never like a get greenhouse, powdery doesn't mildew. It? You will never get powdery mildew with those floor drains. Don't worry. You'll be fine.
All right. We got a technical LED question here. Threw this one in for Guru.
All
so
right.
Let's hit it. This is from LED Dimming by Grateful Dead Osaurus Rex. All right.
Deal. Hello,
What's
Rex.
What's up, boys? Because I'm in flower of the first grow, and I've just purchased a 240 2700 Kelvin quantum board. Man, slinging the quantum boards out there.
They're legit.
I'm not planting these. All right, and also just did some research on diodes. Most diodes only do 2 things: regulate current in one direction and block it completely in the other direction. Therefore, an LED cannot be dimmed using pulse width modulation. PWM.
It's all PWM.
PWM basically fakes dimming of the light by flicking it on and off at different intervals. So it'll flick on and off, and it's imperceivable to you, but it seems like the light is less bright. because it's flicking on and off so fast.
Oh, geez, so. Scotty suddenly falls down lately, man. I wonder what the fuck that's all
about. Yeah, I mean, that's what Grouse Gross, shout out, chimes in here and says, you can get dim LEDs by lowering the voltage and or amperage, depending on the type of LED used. I do not recommend using PWM to dim LED due to their effects on us and possible effects on plants. PWM dimming can and does cause epileptic episodes in people and animals. Also, on the LED side of the driver, DC current is used.
I don't know. You can do some cool shit with PWM dimming for LEDs. You can have them on like programmable controllers and make it simulate like rainstorms with lightning flashes, and you can hook up speakers to it and have thunder strikes. And I mean, you can do some cool stuff with it and simulate sunrise and sunset and.
But you don't recommend it for, like he's asking, is this going to harm my plants?
In theory, it's the same same amount of PPF hitting the plant when you dim with PWM. It's just in flashes.
And it should be theoretically imperceptible to the plant?
Theoretically.
Okay. Just the same way theoretically it's imperceptible to us, but people still have seizures?
Theoretically. Gotcha. I'm going to keep saying.
Well, I like Spartan
keep
Grows.
Saying
like,
theoretically.
A non-theoretically, it's Spartan Grows just, just raises and lowers his lights instead of dimming and turning them up. So I like
that's
that.
Pretty damn good.
All right. That's interesting. I did not know about the PWM, and it sounds like you don't need to be dimming your lights, Scotty.
It's all PWM these days, dude.
No, I mean, it's not. Most of the dimmers you see like on the lights from HLG or from Rapid LED or anywhere like that, all of those are voltage dimming on it unless you have like an actual controller for it. And then those are PWM for the most part. And even still, they have voltage controllers too for stuff.
I was actually confused. It's all ball bearings these days. Was
yep.
What I meant to say.
Yep. Red's bearings are the only way to go.
I got a couple things before we wrap here.
Yes.
I wanted to remind you guys the Regenerative Organic Cannabis Conference is still going on. There's a link here. They're going to be in Humboldt February 22nd, then out to Portland in early March.
Nice.
And then to Ann Arbor, Michigan, Scotty, it was March 22nd to the 24th. If I had the means, or, you know, I have no idea. I doubt it if I'll make any of these other ones, but I really encourage you guys to. I don't know if it's working yet, but I'm going to make Joshua coupon code dude. Just try it out. This is a great education, man. You got to go to this being ready to sit and listen and soak in. You can, you know, as many as you want. It's a lot to take in 3 days. You're even thinking about doing longer ones, but it's a great education. If you're a grower inside your 4x4 tent, if you're a grower on 4 acres, you're going to get shit that's valuable to learn. So check them out, regenerativeorganiccannabis.com.
Yes.
You can attend. Man, I want to go to Humboldt so bad. I don't think my wife's going
to
be down.
Man, you know, I think out of all those places, I would go to Portland. I'd go back to Portland. It's such a cool city.
You should do. Yeah. And then this is like when, I don't know, sometimes, you know, like if I say I'm going to Humboldt, my wife's going to ask to come on. I've heard Mrs. Reels asked to go on a couple of these, like it's a vacation. I'm like, okay, cool. Just like, you're going to sit with me the whole time, right? We're going to be in this conference for 2 days straight. You're going to be bored off your ass. Anyway, it's real knowledge, guys. And it's kind of a vacation, but look at it as like going to school, man. You'll learn some good shit.
Definitely.
All right. That being said, I did find one more piece of information. We used to talk about aged products, soils, and all that that had composted or aged forest materials.
I would think that would be sawdust that's composted down.
Yeah. So I ran into – you've ran into them with me before, guys. The Royal Gold Cats, yep. Michael over there.
Yep.
And they're out of Humboldt. So and they're also just – they're distributed by Green Planet, which Spectrum is – King is as well. So I was over at that booth bullshitting with them. And I was like, so tell me about the aged forest materials. I just wanted to hear what they said. Because I've gone to a rep at another trade show from another company and they couldn't tell me jack.
Right.
And Michael's like, look, dude, this is first off, it's yes, it is. Because I go, it's just sawdust, right? Like you said, Scotty. And he's like, well, I mean, yeah, it's a byproduct of the redwood industry. It's solely redwood byproduct. There's no other forest materials in it at all. And we actually have our own, you know, it's proprietary, if you will. He's like, you can come out and check it out. Way of they do compost themselves. So I did like to have an answer. I did like to know. Yeah. I like to know what's in my mix.
Yeah.
Not just composted forest materials, because that's a pretty wide array, as well as if you could get some things in there that you don't want that could be bad for your mix, that could be a virus or something negative for your plants. But regardless, cool cats in Humboldt. So I think I'm going to try and get those boys on board to do a little sponsorship with the show. And I put in the deal, Scotty, that we're going to get fly in a Learjet right to Humboldt. And they're going to helicopter us tour over Humboldt County to see all the gardens and shit you down.
Guru and I were talking about that. I'd rather just get a helicopter ride to the airport, man. And Guru says I'm too close to the power lines, but in that case, can't they do those? What are those guys called, man? The power line helicopter guys?
Where they have the like grounding rake that yes, they have man. To ground themselves to the line.
If I win the lottery, that's what I want to spend it on, man, is hanging out with those guys, man.
Well, check them out for real, dude. Royal Gold got some good mixes. I had my hands in a lot of them, and I like what they got going on, and I like Humboldt as well. So there. Oh, I did mention that. I mentioned to the crew to check out the movie, the documentary Murder Mountain.
Yes, sir.
Done in Humboldt. Well, I do like the documentary in the way it forgot to mention that it is sensationalized a little bit. You know, it does. Not all of Humboldt is like this. Keep in mind, Humboldt is a very beautiful, safe place. But check out that documentary. It's cool. Cannabis documentary, Murder Mountain.
It was really on a hill.
Yeah, Netflix. You just might get kidnapped and killed and held
hostage. I like how you said that. Technically, Scotty, you're right. It is a hill.
Just think about, like, if you're, like, if years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, who's going to be attracted to the getting paid cash? Let's drive to Humboldt. We can work. We sleep in our cars or camp and get paid cash to trim weed. Dude, that's not the, you know, exactly the Wall Street executive type or the most stable type that's going to get a... attracted to that. So yeah, I'll bet you there's a lot of murder and stuff.
The movie, the documentary series focuses around a guy that went to get his 50. He's like, I got time to go get my 50 grand. And he done got shot in the head instead.
Yeah. So, seen that happen in a movie.
All right. So what do you got? Two sling and some recharge.
You know, we got a call from the Bubbling Bucket in Cincinnati, Ohio today. So right on. Keep pushing, y'all. Actually, we're
Bubbling
the first ones.
Bucket.
Yeah, they got our 50 packs. We got a 50 pack of the stick packs out now. So look for those on your grocery store counter. It's brand new. Spent my life savings on them. So if if your grocery store don't have them, yeah, give me a call. We'll get them to them.
All right. Not as good as Plant Parenthood. Are you still hanging out with those guys at all?
Yeah, Plant Parenthood's awesome, man. That's awesome. It's our boy. It's Veg over there, no?
Oh, let's do some shout outs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Who you got?
Spartan Grown and Rascal Farmer.
Yes, excellent contributors. Frosty McNuggets and Red House Grows. What's up?
What up, Northwest Headies and Uni Quartz Ranch?
I got Canna Bichiro and Great White Bud.
Barb's Tarps.
And get the last one to Guru, man. Who's that last guy, man? Who's that guy? Guru's real name popped up, man. I don't know what's going on, man. Is that your real name?
That is interesting. Somebody's trying to sabotage us.
I'm glad we're still getting $10 a month from them, man. Thanks, Guru. Thanks for coming back, right, brother.
In the meantime, stay higher, my friends. We'll be hanging out.
Yeah, take it easy, dude. Some people love to blaze up the tank. Yeah, we get happy for noon. And when the boss man says to take a little break, that means we lighten up a dude. It's just weed, it's just weed. I like to keep a good buzz on. It's just weed, it's just weed. In my toolbox there's a bone. Some people start their day off with a pill. It's what the doctor says to do. They shake their heads at natural medicine. Go ahead and try something new. It's just weed, it's just weed. I like to keep a good buzz on. It's just weed, it's just weed. I like to smoke it all day long. Yeah. If the big man catch you riding high, ooh, we're gonna lock you in a cage. No. If you wonder why he hates the dank, just look at how he's being paid. Now, don't lock up me for smoking weed. I ain't done nothing.